Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
This morning, I and us are going to wrap up this three-part series that we have been doing in the book of Daniel, and we have been looking at selective stories in this book. So I am excited about this morning's message. It's stand in faith, because I believe that, you know what, we are going to go out of this message strong. We are going to take it home today, finish it up, then Pastor Marty will be back next Sunday with a whole new series, and I could go back to sleeping right over there. But I'm totally kidding. I don't, but you know, I do not. But anyways, I'm excited that this message is finally here. I got my assignment in September, and I just could not stand it. It was the night before I was going to the Beth Moore conference with a group of women, and I really felt sorry for them, because it's like the lady who was driving the car door, we all got in, the door shut, the locks went down. I just started, guess what? You know what? But anyway, so I've been processing it for a while and praying about it, and I really believe for some of you this morning that this is going to be a message of great hope. I believe that God is going to speak directly to some of you, especially for those of you who have been praying about something for quite a long time. You see, some of you have been believing that God is going to do something very specific, and you have been praying and believing, but you haven't seen anything. So if that is you, I believe that God is going to have a message for you this morning. As a matter of fact, for myself, and I'm sure pretty much everyone in this room, you're all included. I believe that I'm losing my microphone, but I truly believe that we all have something that we are currently praying about, and we're just waiting to hear from God. I mean, it can be about maybe our finances, our marriage, our children, our adult children, maybe our job. But whatever it is, I believe that if you've been believing for a long time for something significant, I believe that God is going to minister to you in a very special way today. So if you have your Bibles like this, or your digital, your phone, however, I'm not going to judge you. I'm okay with it. I just really want to encourage you, though, if you own a Bible, to bring it with you, because this is one of the hills that we die on here. We believe and we seek truth, and we believe that we find the foundation of truth is in our Bibles. So if you have one, I want to encourage you to bring one with you. If you do not have one, if you want to see me after service, I'll be down front with a few of the other pastors, and we would love to get you one. Also, if you do not have a copy of our, I feel like an infomercial. So if you do not have a copy of our Hills, I would really hope that you'd stop by the hub afterwards to pick up a copy. So we are going to park out in Daniel 10 this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn there, I'll give you some background on where we are at. Last week when Stephen spoke, and I actually was going to wear all my cardinal gear just to really talk trash, but I only have 35 minutes. So last week when Stephen spoke, he was speaking about Daniel in the lion's den. And at that time, Daniel was 80 years old. Well, this week, he's much older than that, and he has been praying for decades upon decades and standing in faith, believing that God was going to do a miracle. And because if you remember, in the first week of our series, Pastor Mike spoke about King Nebuchadnezzar. No wonder why he said King Nebi. So I'm going to stick with King Nebi too, but that's the only time I'm going to talk about him. Anyways, he said that King Nebi destroyed the temple, and he captured all of the young elite men, and he turned them into slaves. Well, for all these years, decades among decades, Daniel has been praying, and he's been asking God and waiting and believing that God would restore the temple, and that all of his Jewish brothers and sisters that have been in bondage for all this time would be able to go back to their homeland. So here we are this morning in Daniel 10. And it begins in Daniel 10 that starts looking like things might be starting to happen, that his hopes and dreams of rebuilding this temple would happen. But then Daniel has another vision. He gets a vision from God, and it's so disturbing. It's a vision of more war and hardship is about to come. So then Daniel does what Daniel always does, and he seeks out God in prayer. And the scripture says, where we're going to pick up today in Daniel 10, 5, 8, is that, that he began to pray and fast for 21 days. So Daniel went into a fast for 21 days. For 21 days, Daniel saw nothing. Nothing was changing. And then after this fast, Daniel has another vision. And this vision this time is of an angelic being. And before we get into our scriptures today, I just want to tell you about this angelic being when we first start to read about him in Daniel 10, that we're not too sure who this angelic being is. But if you take some time and read through the scriptures and look into some helpful biblical resources, you'll find, and you will most likely agree with myself and other biblical scholars, that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. Because if you remember that God was here before the foundation of the earth, and God is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus appears to us in the New Testament. He's in a body form. He is born of a woman. He was a man. He walked on earth. But he was here before the foundation of the earth. Again, God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at the scriptures in Daniel 10, 5 through 8. This is Daniel describing what he is seeing in this vision. And Daniel says, I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. And I just want to take a second to say, in this scripture that we just read, if you have a reference Bible or a study Bible, you'll see a reference mark right now that's going to direct you over to Revelations 1:13. And it's in Revelations 1:13 that John has a vision of Jesus. And this is about the same description of this angelic being as the description in Revelations that John is having. So back to verse 6. In his description, he says, his body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men who were with me, they saw nothing, but suddenly they're terrified, and they ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, and my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Now, it's interesting to me that Daniel is the only one who sees this amazing vision as he just described it. The men that were with him, they didn't see anything. Well, you know, some of you who are followers of Christ, chances are that there is some point in your walk that you that God showed you something very special. And maybe it was when you were reading through scriptures and you came along a verse, and you've probably read this verse 10 times before. But this one particular time, this verse just jumps out at you, and it just really speaks to you, and it really ministers to you, and you're like, this is so amazing. So you go run to a friend, and you're like, look at this verse. Isn't this awesome? You know, you're just telling them, and they just look at you, and they're like, just not receiving your enthusiasm. They're just not getting it. Well, it could be maybe during a song or a message or just whenever you're in the presence of God and you're just experiencing his presence, and it's just the most amazing experience that you're having. Well, some of you have experienced what I just described at some point or another, and maybe you've experienced something during our worship service today, which was truly, truly amazing. Thank you. And you were just there, and you're just worshiping God, and maybe you started to experience, like this would be my description, kind of like Daniel just gave us his description of what it felt like when he entered into the presence of God. But maybe you're just worshiping, and you're feeling just your body get warm, or you're tingling, or just shaking, or emotional. I'm a very emotional woman. I just cry, and I just don't care. It's an ugly cry, but you know, you just do it, and it just doesn't matter because you're just in the presence of God, and you're like, you just don't want it to end. And so after that moment you have in worship this morning, the next thing you just, you know, say to the person who's sitting next to you, you're like, oh my gosh, wasn't that just amazing? And they're like, yeah, that's good. and they have free coffee, and it's pretty good. And you're like, are you kidding me? I mean, really, it's Dunkin' Donut coffee. Who cares? You know? And so that is what Daniel experienced. Okay, he didn't experience the coffee part, but I will say on his behalf, I know that Daniel would never drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm just saying. But this is what we just read that Daniel experienced in the presence of God. You see, the men that were there, they didn't experience it. And you might have a moment during this teaching where it's like God is just speaking directly to you. You may hear something. It's like heaven just opened up and he's like, boom, good morning. And he's just like all over you. And you're like, this is just so amazing. I so need it. I'm so glad I got up here today because we're Arizona and we get a live game. Yeah, wherever that Packer guy is, you know. So we get the live game today. I'm going to get them still. And so you're like, I'm here. And God just spoke to you because it was your moment, your time. He wanted you here today. And then you're going to lunch with your friends and you're like, man, wasn't that amazing? God just spoke to me. And they're like, yeah, that's funny. She knocked Dunkin' Donuts coffee. She must be a Dutch girl. Let me tell you something. That's the only truth that they're going to get today because that's the truth. But they're not going to get it because, like I said, God has something to show you. God has something. Oh, excuse me. I just need to drink water real quick. I could have some coffee too, but you don't want that to happen. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, he has something just to show you, and this is what happened. It's like, they're not going to get it, because it's for you, and it's your time. And Daniel has a moment just like this, where he enters the presence of God, which we just read, but then he describes it like we just read, and we're going to read it again. In verse 8, it says, my strength left me, my face grew deathly pale. And I felt very weak. Watch what happens, because he's telling us his experience. But then I heard a man speak, and when I heard his voice, I fainted and I laid there with my face to the ground. I mean, he's telling us, when I heard the voice of God, I fainted and fell to my face to the ground. I mean, that is so powerful. It's like, let me tell you something. Listen, this is the truth. No man can bear the weight of the glory of God when you're in God's presence. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. I'm so glad you're here. No. So some of you who have been followers of Christ, you have maybe had moments like this where you enter into the presence of God, where you're in your quiet time or however that may look, I don't know. But you're just so in the moment where you're simultaneously just so grieved over your own sinfulness. But yet at the same time, you're just rejoicing over his grace in knowing that you have been forgiven. In this moment that you're with God, you're just overwhelmed by his comfort and his assurance of your sins and that you have been forgiven. He's just loving on you. Has anyone ever experienced, are we tracking here? Good. Thank you for showing up today. I appreciate it. But you know what? I have had several moments in the presence of God during maybe reading my Bible. Worship time for sure, it just lights me up all the time. Maybe a teaching. But there's this one particular moment that I was with God that had the most profound effect on my life, besides the evening of my salvation. I'll never forget that one. But this moment with God has literally turned my life around. As a matter of fact, this moment that I had with God is the reason that I stand here before you today. You see, a few years ago, I was in a crossroads in life, and I felt God stirring something new in me. And as I started to pray, I specifically asked for guidance and clarity on this stirring. And as I saw opportunities opening up down here, I started to seek out those opportunities. At the same time, a phone call came. And if I chose to do so, the phone call would take me down another path. So, at the time of the phone call, I knew that this path that I was on was where I was supposed to be. At least I felt pretty sure of it. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I think so. It's opening up. It's happening. So I told the caller no. Let me tell you about this caller. This guy was very, very pesky. He is very persistent. And he wasn't ready to easily take my no. And he said, "Will you just pray about it?" So I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." But I left him with no hope. I said, "You know what? I just can't even imagine doing that again. I've been there. I've done that. 11 years, that, you know, chapter's closed. I've moved on. Hey, I'm over here. You're over here. And there's nothing in this heart of mine even thinking or even have a vision of going in the direction that you're asking of me." This guy's voice didn't even flinch. He just said, "I'm just asking that you would please pray about it." So I said, "Okay." And the last thing I said was, "You know what? It would be a miracle if I came back and said I would do it, because God's really got to do something with my heart." So I began to pray about it, phoned some friends, and I asked them to pray. And about 3 weeks later, my husband Gary and my son Andrew were getting ready to go on a family camp scouting weekend up in Sedona. So I thought, "Oh my gosh, this would be great. I'll go camping. My daughters and I will go. You know, I could clear my mind. I could just let God speak to my heart." So my daughters and I went camping with the boys, and we rented a condo in Sedona. And so I'm just saying, don't judge me. It's how the Lewis girls camp, you know. I'm like, "Hey, if my husband's going to pay for it and allow it, who's stupid here? You know what I mean? Come on. I'm sorry." You know, so when we're up there in Sedona, and the plan was, well, not the plan, but the agenda for the weekend, was that my husband and son were having a ceremony back at their camp that evening. So the girls and I went to Sedona. No, we were in Sedona. The girls and I went to Jerome. Well, once we were in Jerome, the girls and I were walking up this narrow sidewalk. And it was so narrow, only one person could walk on it at a time. So we're in, single file walking. Thank you. Gosh, I'm so glad you guys are here today and participating in this message. And so we're just walking, and we're just chatting, and we're just laughing. And all of a sudden, we're interrupted by the sound of a rooster crow. And I'm thinking, "Gosh, that's really odd, you know?" And I look at my watch, and it's after 2 p.m. I'm like, "What do I know? I'm a city girl. I don't know when roosters crow. You know, on TV, they crow in the morning." And so, the next thing, though, is my youngest daughter, she says to me, she goes, "Mom, you know what the Bible says about when a rooster crows?" And I'm thinking, What is wrong with this kid? Isn't it time for her to leave to go to college yet? No. You know, and we're just walking and we're talking, and all of a sudden a rooster crows again. And my oldest daughter, who is going off to college, they're both in college now, my oldest daughter, she turns around and does the snicker like that stinking laughing Sarah. You know, she goes, "Mom, you better watch out." And I'm like, "What has gotten into these Lewis girls? I mean, seriously." But let me tell you, the next thing that happened is that the rooster crowed again, and I lost all the strength in my body, and I could not take another step forward. And not only did I lose all the strength in my body, but all the breath that I had in me was gone. So I'm bent over, gasping for air, holding my chest, and the next thing I know is that I hear this voice, this audible voice in my head, and it says, "Rhonda, are you going to deny me?" And as I can just catch a little breath, just enough that I could stand up and to reply, I said, "No. No, Lord, I will not deny you." And let me tell you, I was flooding out Jerome with those tears. It was on. I was like, I was just hoping we'd get down that hill. But I want you to know, when we enter into the presence of God, those are the things God does. He makes miracles happen. He answers prayers. He binds up the broken and the wounded. And it was in that second that I replied back to him that he reached into the cavity of my chest and he took out the heart that I had. And it was old and it was stony and it was just broken and it was just scarred up. And he replaced it with a new, willing, responsive heart. It was an Ezekiel 36 moment in Jerome, Arizona, of all places. It's crazy. Well, that's what he does. And that's what I believe that he's going to do for some of us today in this room. So this morning, we're going to look at three key points for when we need to stand in faith, especially for those of you who have been standing and waiting and waiting. Because let me tell you something. Prior to that moment in Jerome, I had been praying for 2 years. For 2 years, I was praying, God, what's next? What's next, Lord? And you know what? For 2 years, I saw nothing. I believe that he has something to show us today. So if you're taking notes, three things to remember. Man, you guys are so good. Thank you. Three things to remember while you're standing in faith. Number one, God cares about you more than you do. God cares about you more than you care about yourself. I mean, let's look at this in verse 10, in Daniel 10, verse 10. He says, just then a hand touched me and it lifted me up, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel says, the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Where's Kirk? Kirk, you are very precious to God. It's like, you are very precious to God. I believe for some of you that this is your God moment today. Right now, heaven's opening up, God's speaking down, and he wants you to know, Jen, that you are very precious to him. He loves you. He cares about you. He values you. There's nothing that you can do that will make him love you any less. There's nothing that you can do that will make him love you any more. I don't care what you even did this weekend. It's not going to make him stop loving you, because God loves you, not because it's what he does, but he loves you because it's who he is. Can anyone just say amen to that? I mean, come on. God loves you because it's not what he does. He doesn't have to, but it's because it's who he is. Thank you. Then the angelic being says to Daniel in verse 11, he says, listen. Let me tell you something, friends. Whenever you're reading in the Bible and you see listen, guess what you better do? But guess what? This angelic being tells Daniel, he says, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. He says, stand up, for I have been sent to you. And Daniel, I love it. He's so obedient. He goes, and when he said this to me, I stood up. He says, I was still trembling, but I stood up. Oh, heck yeah, Daniel, you're trembling. You're in the presence of God. I tremble. I cry. So, three things to remember when you're standing in faith. The first thing is that God cares about you more than you care about yourself. The second thing is that God is doing more than you understand. And we read this. In verse 12, it starts, it says, then he, that's the angelic being, tells Daniel, he's like, don't be afraid, Daniel. He says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, guess what? Your request was heard in heaven. Listen, for all of you, including myself, this has been a fabulous message for me to prepare. From the first moment you began to pray. I don't care what that looks like. The first moment those words uttered out of your mouth, you typed it, you journaled it, you sign languaged it. I don't know how you communicate with God, but we just read the first moment that we prayed, God, he heard our prayers. And he continues to tell him, he goes, I have come to answer your prayer. And he says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my ways. Hello, how many days? 21 days. Are you guys seeing that connection? For 21 days, The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then, to the rescue, Michael, the archangel, came to help me. And I left him there so that I could come. Daniel was in the heavenly realm battling out the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia for 21 days. Michael, the archangel, comes to help him so that he could go down to answer Daniel's prayer. And they're out battling it out. So for those of you, me included, who have been praying for a long time, listen. For those of you who have been praying for a long time, you're wondering, is it even worth it? For those of you who've been praying for a long time, that you have these thoughts in your head of like, why bother? God doesn't care. I mean, if he cared, he would have already done something. For those of you who've been praying for a very long time that you feel like you're wasting your breath or that God isn't listening because he's not, and that he's not going to do what you're asking because it's not his will. Let me tell you, does anyone have that in their head right now? Does anyone have that in their heart, those thoughts that have been waiting for prayer to be answered from God? Because let me tell you, I want you to know this. The very first time you prayed, heaven opened up and received your prayers. The very first time that you prayed for healing for that loved one, heaven heard your prayer. The very first time you prayed for your child and you begged that God would have mercy on your child, God heard your prayers. The very first time you prayed for your child and you begged for him or her to come back home, to return, God heard your prayers. God hears our prayers. He loves the persistent prayers of his saints. Verse 13, the angelic being tells Daniel, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. And then Michael, the archangel, came to help me. And I left him there to battle it out. Listen, this is what the scriptures just told us. I don't make this up. We just read it. The beginning of the message was Daniel fasting and praying for 21 days. For 21 days, Daniel saw nothing. But we know, because the scriptures just told us, that there was something taking place in the heavenly realm. And we just read in verse 13 of this that there was a battle taking place. Now listen, just because you aren't seeing anything happening, something is happening. He is doing something. Does anyone need to hear that? Does anyone need that encouragement? Something is happening on your behalf just because you don't see it happening. You know, friends, I have the perfect illustration for this, but I'm going to be honest with you. When I was in the staff meeting, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have the perfect, perfect illustration that I got to show them. I mean, it's just the perfect picture of an angelic being. And I was threatened with my life if I showed it to you. So I will not show it to you. And you're just going to have to trust me on this, okay? So, the third thing to remember when standing in faith, number three, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. I just love this. I just love it. I attend a community group on Thursday night, and I was just jumping up and down because I'm kind of a little hyper, but someone brought up, Lou Hart brought that up, and I'm like, that's in my message. You know, I get all crazy and wacky and all that, but I just love it. It's like confirmation. But it's like, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, we are right now in the Old Testament in Daniel 10, and we are seeing this truth come out, and we're going to see more of it in a few minutes. But don't you love it that we can literally step into the New Testament, and it's still a New Testament principle because it's Paul in 2 Corinthians telling the Corinthians church, anyone know it? Because I do. It's in my notes. He says, your weakness is, oh, I'm sorry, in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. We got it in two places, and I love it. But I want you to know that it's not until that we or you embrace your weakness that you'll never fully understand his strength. Until you fully embrace your weaknesses, you'll never fully understand his strength. It's just, it's how it is. It's not the law of Rhonda. It's the truth. So in verse 17, Daniel tells, I'm sorry. I'm a lot, I know. You know, hey. But in verse 17, Daniel tells this angelic being. He says, how can someone like me, your servant, talk to you? My Lord, who did he just call that angelic being? My Lord, how can someone like me talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. For some of you right now, that captures exactly where you are at. Your strength is gone. You can hardly breathe. You've been hanging on to this marriage. You have been hanging on to this child. You've been battling this blank. You fill in the blank. You have been battling this blank. And your strength is gone. And you can hardly breathe. In verse 18, Daniel says, then the one who looked like a man, he touched me again. And I just have to take a sidestep and say, out of the Trinity, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the only one of them that looked like a man was Jesus Christ. And Daniel is having this vision of the only one who looked like a man right now. And he said, and when he touched me, my strength returned. Listen, right now is someone's God moment. It is why you are here today. You know why? Because you just need that one touch. You just need that one touch and your faith is returning. You need that one touch and your strength is returning. You need that one touch and you're coming back to Christ. That one touch and that thing that you were believing, the one thing that you were believing in years ago, months ago, weeks ago, maybe just days ago, you're believing in it again. One touch is all you need to keep going a little bit longer. It's like just one touch and your strength is returned. Let me tell you, one touch in the presence of God and your whole life changes. Look at me. I know this. This is my life. One touch. Some of you need that one touch today. And I believe during worship or, ministry time this morning, you're going to get it. And you're going to come back to Christ. And then Christ says to Daniel, he says, don't be afraid. And I love it. I love it because he already told him one time, but he's telling him again, don't be afraid, Daniel. But you know what I love the most about verse 19? It's like the Lord is saying, Daniel, if you didn't hear me when I told you back in verse 11, I know, don't freak out. I know there were not verses back in the day. Okay, man made them. I made that up just now. If you didn't hear me the first time when I told you, I'm going to tell you again. Because God is saying, you didn't receive what I wanted you to receive, and now you're going to receive it. Daniel, you are very precious to God. And some of you didn't receive that the first time. You just let it go right by you. You're like, oh, for her, him. No, it's for you. You're very precious to God. So much so, he says it again, and he ends on that. And then God blesses Daniel. Because you see, whenever you're in the presence of God, you don't leave the same way you came out. All throughout the Old Testament, it says when the people were coming and into the presence of God through the tents and different places where the presence of God was, it said they'd enter in one door, but they couldn't exit it. They had to exit another way. And that's just like us. When we're in the presence of God, you can't enter and leave the same way. You're changed. And when you do leave, This is Christ blessing Daniel. He says, peace. Because whenever you're in the presence of God and he does his work, he's cleaning and scrubbing and, you know, sometimes you need to get your hair straightened by him. It takes hours. But when it's done, you leave and you're just filled with peace. And that's what Christ is saying to Daniel right now. He's like, peace. Be encouraged. Stand strong. So when we're closing, I'm going to have the band come up. Good golly molly. Time flies when you're having fun, huh? You know, you can continue to stand in faith. Because the first time you prayed, God heard your prayers. And when he heard your prayers, he released angelic beings in the heavenlies to do battle for you. And just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that he isn't doing something. And there are going to be people, and they're not going to understand how you can continue to stand strong. And you're going to tell them, I understand. But I realize this. God cares about me more than I do. He's doing more than I understand. And you know what else? His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I have embraced my weakness. Therefore, I have tapped into his strength. And you need to understand that I continue to believe everything that is in me because I believe in God who is good and who's working all things to bring about good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And just because we don't see anything does not mean that my heavenly Father, who thinks I am so, so precious to him, isn't doing anything.